Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist, physician, with my co-host
Carol Peterson.
And here we are again today. And this is a special season, as we all know and begin to feel. The lights are going up. When we walk through the city, there's an excitement in the air, a little and a chill. And we all feel it. It's sort of an electric time that most of us experience. But there's some parts about it that are not so special and not so electric. And one is that this is an assault, in many cases, on our digestion. So we spoke about digestion, but mostly we spoke about the process of digestion last week. This week, we're going to speak mostly about what we can do. We're going to talk about what we can do. You know, we're going into the winter, the heavy winter, and what happens is that the average person in this country gains about 8 pounds by the end of the winter. And not all of us lose it. So it's like a gradual, well, I've been gaining weight a couple pounds every year, and then you look up and you have gained a significant amount of weight. So what we want to do is learn how to troubleshoot the holidays for more ways than one, and troubleshoot our winter for more ways than one. In more ways than one, we want to help our digestion. But we also want to choose the way we eat and focus ourselves into a better way of eating, even though it's a little chilly and there's people gathering and there's foods that we normally wouldn't eat and we wouldn't even have in our house. But there they are in front of us. And we're a little hungry. So what do we do? Carol, what do you think?
Well, all sorts of interesting things. I just looked up something in preparation for this discussion today, and we do want it to be a discussion, so I'm going to give the number out right away, 212-209-2877. Please call in and join us. But I was looking at Ayurvedic medicine, and they have what's called the Agni, the digestive fire. And of course, according to your dosha or Ayurvedic type, you have different things. And I don't want to go into this too much, but there is three doshas, but there's a fourth digestive type. And I'd like to go over this a little bit because this is what we are supposed to be like. Symptoms, digestive symptoms, lightness after food, energized after food, clean and clear tongue, no coating, even on awakening, fresh breath naturally, no symptoms of indigestion, no gas, no bloating, no belching, no acidity. Bowels are regular with 1 to 2 healthy bowel movements a day. And your appetite should be good. It's balanced. It's not excessive or dull. You're hungry on awakening. Hungry for meals, but you don't snack. Emotions have a lot to do with your digestion. So all your emotions are in balance. No mood swings. The mind is present and in harmony of what is. So what should you eat? What kinds of food you should eat? You should eat foods according to the season. We go through Vata, Kapha, and Pitta. But you have summer should be pita, hot foods. But winter is midwinter where we are is kapha. So we like more heavier foods, warm foods. And foods to avoid. We should avoid old, stale, or burnt foods, excessive leftovers, excessive takeout. There goes the pizza. processed foods, additives and dyes. Limited canned, frozen, and packaged foods. So herbal teas such as ginger, Tulsi tea, Triphala is an Ayurvedic herb for your digestion, and those you can use. I thought it was kind of beautiful because we talk about all the problems, but what we should talk about is what we should be like.
Exactly. How many people feel energized after a meal? Most of the people that come into my office and speak to me feel exhausted, a little, sometimes even slightly nauseous. Sometimes they feel exactly like you said, bloating. They feel bloating. They feel upset stomach. They feel heartburn, nausea, belching, and very gassy. And that fatigue, almost like a fog that goes over their brain. And there they are, they just ate a meal, and they're supposed to be feeling better, not worse. And so what are those symptoms of? Let's discuss it. We just discussed what the ideal is, but what's the symptom of bloating, upset stomach, heartburn, nausea, belching, gas? Well, that's very commonly related to low acid. And when you look up those symptoms, 70% of the time in medical books, you'll find that there's no known cause. Or they'll also say it's probably coming from stress or anxiety or a gastric reflux disease. But I think gastric reflux is a symptom. It's not the cause. And so we know that this society right now has an assault on stomach acid. If you go into the stores, there's all these different antacids from very simple, just plain calcium carbonate, all the way up to proton pump inhibitors. They are over the counter. When you meet people, they've been on them for years. Not a short stint or a short period of time until the symptoms get better. They've been on them for years. And what they have done is totally suppressed their body's hydrochloric acid. It started out low, and then they suppressed it even more, which creates even more problems in their body for their digestion and for their ability to digest and enjoy their meals. So, what?
Corinne?
Go.
Yeah. Corinne, could you pop off and come back on? The connection is very wobbly.
Wow.
Yes, your voice is just
having
a lot of vibration in it. So it's difficult to hear. So pop off and pop back on, and I'll say a few words while you're doing that.
Okay, right now.
Okay, so as we're going on there, what are the consequences of digestive problems? And we haven't talked about this, but there are several severe health consequences. So let me start with osteoporosis.
I'm here, Carol.
Okay, great. That sounds better. I was just talking about one of the consequences of poor digestion that people don't think about too much. We think about osteoporosis, maybe we ought to have more calcium, maybe we should be drinking milk, maybe we should be taking Tums. But in reality, creating a healthy body and creating bones all starts with that digestive fire that you have to stoke. I'll say, keep with the fire metaphor, needs to be stoked so you are able to break down all the proteins that you eat, bring it down into your amino acids. People think about minerals with their bones, but really it's a protein matrix that holds the whole thing together. As you age, you can see people getting shorter. You can see them getting more frail. It's called sarcopenia. You lose muscle mass, and you've got to go back to the basics, and you have to put in good food, but you have to be able to digest it and assimilate it.
And digestion begins in the stomach, where the acid, and our body makes 2 liters a day of hydrochloric acid. Wow.
And it makes enough to clean your boat with?
Just about. And it makes it, and their ability to make it is based on one, salt, another, potassium, another, zinc. All of those are necessary for the ability of your body to make this hydrochloric acid. And when our hydrochloric acid is low, what happens is we do not give the signal for our body to close the, it's a little sphincter or a valve on the top of our stomach. And so what happens is our stomach is trying to digest, but it doesn't have enough acid in it to break down the bonds of the protein, to purify the food, and to break down some of the carbohydrates and stimulate intrinsic factor and stimulate the absorption of B12. But what happens is that food gets then pushed up into the esophagus. And what happens? There's 2 things that happen. One is very common, and the other we discussed here with Dr. Jamie Kaufman. The first one is that we get literally a chemical burn on our esophagus. The pH of our stomach should be 1 to 3. And even at 4 or 5, it's very acidic, and it burns that delicate tissue in our esophagus. But the second thing it does is it pushes enzymes up into the esophagus that, even though the burning stops, the acid stops burning, the enzymes are there to digest. That's what they're there for. They're to digest and break apart proteins in the stomach while the food is there. But what happens is they don't turn off. They turn off, and they're turned on and turned off by pH. So what happens is you need a very alkaline food, or they could be digesting for days and breaking up the tissue along the esophagus. And we see that all the time. Number one malady that's happening in the States right now is gastric reflux, and it can be a precursor to some very serious diseases. And a large portion of that is the fact that our stomachs are alkaline rather than adequately acidic enough to be able to break up our foods and allow it passage into the intestines. So what can we do?
Jamie Kaufman, before you get too far away from her, her point with this reflux is that we get symptoms such as sinus drainage and coughing during the night. which we don't necessarily hook onto our digestive system, but it's absolutely linked. And she has written a book about this. And so taking care of that reflux is really important to avoid postnasal drip and to avoid coughing during the night, as that fluid from your sinuses is irritating your throat. So one of her things for the evening is that you'd never lie down flat after you eat. So she recommends 5 hours between the time of your last meal and lying down in bed.
It takes up to 5 hours for your stomach to empty.
Right.
So that's not just a random number. She wants the stomach empty before you go to lie down to sleep, before you recline. And
some practitioners may actually give people that advice, tell them that when they go to bed, they should have a mattress that inclines in order to be comfortable. But you can also get comfortable if you allow your body to have the time to empty the stomach.
And that means no snacking. That means no snacking after dinner. And that's an important one, no snacking after dinner. One of the worst things that we've done as a nation is we've taught ourselves to continuously snack, which continuously makes us hungry and interferes with our digestion. And we also have to remember that hydrochloric acid breaks down the bonds and allows us to absorb many different minerals. One is magnesium. There's magnesium in proteins in meat, but we can't get it unless the meat is broken down into the individual proteins that allows the release of the magnesium. There's also zinc that is released. There's also iron that's released all through the action of the stomach acid. So what can we do? Now, this is, what can we do to increase our hydrochloric acid? One, we could take a very, very weak acid. It's called betaine hydrochloric acid, hydrochloride, and you can get that in the health food stores. And you could start out with 1, 2, or 3 with meals, depending. And I've seen people that even go up to 10 or 11 and find that their whole digestion changes. Their bowels regulate, their burping stops, their gas stops, and they feel so much better with the betaine hydrochloride, where they have been taking antacids up to that time. Also, sounds funny, but our ability to make hydrochloric acid also depends on salt. And salt is important for us. Salt is a chloride, and salt is an important factor in allowing us to make this hydrochloric acid. And then potassium is necessary. But then there's something else we can do, and we've spoken about this a few times, and it's really a lovely thing, is apple cider vinegar. You can take that before meals or with meals, and it acidifies enough, just a small amount, but just enough to assist your stomach. And another thing we can take is kombucha, which can be very acidic and can help our digestion in more ways than one. So,
I love kombucha. I used to have my own culture, and I taught my kombucha to eat several sugars, like coconut sugar, honey, different things I had on hand that I wasn't using up. So I give my kombucha culture a shock, and it would carry on, and I'd have a new flavor. So I love making kombucha. You can do it at home, but there's so many flavors out there. And if you are getting kombucha, try to get the unpasteurized with live cultures. It would be your best choice there.
One thing that makes it worse makes the stomach problems, the indigestion over time worse, are antacids, all types, and calcium carbonate, just chewing on the Tums, can alkalize the stomach to such a degree that
you basically can't absorb.
What?
It neutralizes it. It's like
totally
a simple chemistry experiment with you add an acid to a base and you get neutral like water. So you've entirely interfered with your digestion.
The number to call is 212-209-2877. Let us know what you're experiencing. Let us know some of your home remedies that can work. There are probably many of them. Some of them we don't even know about. But if they work for you, we'd love to hear it. The number to call, 212-209-2877. Join the conversation and enrich it with your information. Go on, Carol.
How about a few things that actually help heal that esophagus that's been irritated? I've talked about it many times. I love DGL, deglycerizinated licorice. And that has to be used as a lozenge. You suck on it. So not only does it help with the reflux, it helps heal any irritated tissue by the esophagus. Then there's some other herbs. They fall in a class that are called demulcents. And this means that they're like creating a jelly-like substance that actually protects your gastrointestinal system all the way down. And things that fall into here might be marshmallow, okra, aloe. We've talked about aloe before. Gives your body something soothing, helps protect your whole gastrointestinal tract and give it a chance to heal. So that's where you would find supplements like in that family to help your body heal.
I also like aloe. I like aloe, which literally works for the burn. When we get burns, what do we put on them? We put aloe gel. Well, you can take aloe by mouth, and as it goes down your esophagus, you're literally speeding the healing of the burn that you have experienced. So next, you come to bile. And bile is important. It's made in the liver, and it's concentrated in the gallbladder. And bile helps the body. It alkalizes. As the food goes through the stomach, it goes into the small intestine. But there's ducts. And bile is excreted from the liver to the gallbladder, where the gallbladder concentrates it and then releases it into the bowel. It is alkaline, but it also helps emulsify or break down fats. Very important. And it alkalizes the food as it's coming out of the stomach, so it doesn't burn the lining of the small intestines.
So we have a whole class of things called bitters. One time we talked with Dr. Chris Shade and the use of bitters. And Corinne, you had brought up that so many cultures actually have pre-meal drinks that are bitter in nature, and different cultures have them. What's the bitters that you find in your culture?
Well, Italians have multiple bitters. They have one called Cynar, which is incredibly bitter, and it is just raw artichokes with no flavoring, minimal flavoring. So when you drink it, you go, whoa, and you feel it. You really do feel it. The other, there are multiple ones that that are used. When you see people in the courtyards, they have this little red liquid, and that's a bitter, and they're sipping on it as they're watching people walk. It's bitters are a social relationship, or can be, especially in Italy. But all cultures have bitters. The Swedish have bitters. The Swiss have bitters. And each one is a little different, but all made out of bitter vegetables to get the body to release stomach acid.
I wanted to bring up a little point that we should back up to the digestive, where everything gets started. And I think we should say a word or two about smelling, because smelling starts the digestive process. When you smell something wonderful, either a fruit or something, or you're cooking something, that wonderful smell starts all these digestive juices getting started right in your mouth. Now, we have had issues with a virus thing, and there are many people that are struggling with their taste of smell. What do you recommend for loss of smell? Because that does indeed stop digestion, as it should be.
Well, I recommend adequate zinc stores, and sometimes that can help those small capillary and cilia that line the inner part of the nose. And it also helps the inner part of the intestines, and it helps the tongue to regain its sense of taste also. When you often find that sense of taste and sense of smell go together, and when one comes back, they both come back, and some of that is based on zinc stores. So
in Ayurvedic medicine, before you eat, you can all put an oil on your tongue, also in your nose, like sesame oil. It's very popular, and it enhances all your taste buds, and whatever it is in your nose, those receptors responsible for smelling are like waken up or vitalized by the presence of oil.
So the symptoms of low bile are bloating, burping, belching, and bile can be enhanced naturally with beet tops. They're delicious when you cook them. They have this red stem and green leaf, and you can steam them or saute them with garlic, a little hot pepper, and they can be absolutely delicious. And they're known to increase bile output. There's another thing that most of us don't know. Probiotics help us recycle our body then recycles it and allows a higher level of digestion. Ginger enhances bile, artichoke, as we said, lemon, milk thistle, and choline help the liver stimulate the production of bile salts.
So what we also have is we have to have some serious alkaline going on to get the stomach empty. So old-fashioned remedy, if you have this full bloated feeling, is to have a little bit of sodium bicarbonate in water and drink it down, and you get some of the basic bicarbonate, which is what your pancreas should be doing, into your system, and it allows you to empty the stomach. So if that's not happening, I heard, and I don't know if I agree with this or not, if you are burping, it's a low stomach acid symptom. But if you are passing gas, it's a low bicarbonate symptom. It's Have you heard that?
Yes, and low pancreatic enzymes, because pancreatic enzymes are also alkaline. And they, at that same point, right beyond where the bile is put into the partially digested food, right after that comes the pancreatic enzymes. And you have enzymes from the pancreas that digest proteins, that break up fats into finer molecules so you can absorb them, that break up carbohydrates. And what you have is a more complete or broken down product of your food, of your digestion. And pancreatic enzymes are also very alkaline. There also can be a backup in the ducts and in the ducts going to the gallbladder and leaving the gallbladder. Very often, that backup is diagnosed as a food allergy, and very often the gallbladder is then removed because there's problems, because the gallbladder really doesn't secrete adequately. And that is a big problem for digestion and for more ways than one, because what happens is the bile is never concentrated by going into the gallbladder, and it just drips continuously. So you don't have that relationship of alkalizing food as it comes out of the stomach in an adequate way. If that happens to be the case with you, then it would be recommended that you talk with your practitioner and look at bile salts. Bile salts can be very powerful and can assist you. They're taken with food or at the end of the meal, whereas hydrochloric acid is taken at the beginning of the meal, because the first thing that we want is the food to go through the acid in the stomach and then into the small intestine, where it's then washed with the bile. So you would take it at the end of the meal. And sometimes, if the liver isn't functioning right, there can be a backup to the gallbladder. So it all comes down, it begins, and we began a little way in. It begins with how we eat, really and truly. And the more cautious or carefully we eat, the better chance of having all these systems working for us in this beautiful symphony, creating health. You know, it's a combination of two things: what we eat giving us the nutrients, but what we break down is our ability to absorb them. So we could be eating perfect foods, and if our gallbladder and our liver are not working, we're not going to be digesting them. So it's a combination of how all of this comes together and creates a symphony of health. It's just beautiful. The number to call to add to this conversation is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. So, Carol, tell me, what do you do when you're in a group and you go to a gathering and it's the holidays, so people have made cakes and cookies and scalloped potatoes for dinner, potatoes with cream and butter on them, very heavy, rich foods. And there is a protein, but how do you troubleshoot these times like these?
Well, that's starting to talk about gluten.
Oh, yes.
Which is also quite inflammatory. But I'd like to insert here, before we go there, the issue of food poisoning. Because it happens when you go out to eat, or even something you've cooked yourself. You have a reaction to it. You have vomiting and diarrhea. And this can go on for a while. Your body is doing a big rejection of whatever it is that you've eaten. And I'd like to insert here, because it can be helpful for an upset stomach too, is using activated charcoal or other absorbent materials. And that will start absorbing mycotoxins from yeast or endotoxins from bacteria that are really giving you the problem, and your body knows to reject it. If you use an absorbent like activated charcoal at this point, it'll mop that up and give your stomach some relief. So let's go over to what's that?
Great idea.
I know. So that can be happening at your gatherings, and it's happened to me a couple times in my life, and I didn't twig onto activated charcoal except for the second time, but I was quite miserable for a while. In my first couple of capsules of activated charcoal, I felt like it was a miracle. Everything lifted, so all that stomach distress just disappeared. So have that in the back of your pocket. Be ready for those situations. There are plenty of activated charcoal products, and it's a wonderful thing to have in your cabinet with all your goodies to save the day. I have been at conferences where there'd been a outbreak of food poisoning. There is several people that started feeling not too well. And fortunately, I had a whole big bottle, and I was able to save the day for several people that day just because I had that with me. So another really important tool. Now, Corinne, you had asked a very interesting question. So you're going out partying, and I saw this headline, and it says, "What do you do with the onslaught of gluten being hidden in your food all the time, especially over the holidays?" And we like the cookies and the breads and the biscuits and all sorts of gluten-containing things. Interesting. Corinne, you brought up scalloped potatoes. I know my recipe that I used many years ago certainly had flour in there. So you don't know it's got flour, but it has. We have become not necessarily celiac, the really severe form of gluten intolerance that's considered it runs in your family, in your genetics, but we have become sensitive in general to that gluten protein. It's a protein. And whether it's our bodies not digesting it very well in the first place, but it becomes very inflammatory and can cause a lot of digestive distress. And if you've been relatively gluten-free and your digestion is not bothered, it can be just a tiny bit of gluten will start all sorts of issues in your gastrointestinal tract. So what do we do about this?
Well, there are probiotics, as well as enzymes that can help break down some of that gluten intolerance. And that would be worth checking into. But when we're dealing with the holidays, it's very interesting how the more we eat high-carb foods, the hungrier we get.
Okay, and Corinne, excuse me for interrupting, but we do have a caller waiting.
Yay. Hi. You're live on BAI.
Good afternoon, ladies. This is Rose from Flemington, New Jersey. I have a question about gluten and the possibility that it isn't so much gluten as it is Roundup, which is sprayed on our wheat now.
Yes.
Corinne,
two things. Can you jump off and come back on, and I'll start answering the question or talking about the question?
My question is,
thank you for bringing that up, because glyphosate, which is in, it's not used in wheat generally, except for at the end of production while we're harvesting, they're putting glyphosate, or it's in the product Roundup, to wither the leaves to make the grain easier to harvest. And there are people that believe that this glyphosate, which has the ability to interrupt our gut microbiome, which is a big part of our digestion. And when it does that, we become more sensitive to gluten. So gluten itself wasn't the issue. It's the glyphosate that is causing the inflammation and making it more sensitive. Is that what, Rose, is that what your
question? Yeah, I think so. I come from a long family of Belgian with terrible cooking habits. And you want to talk about the burps. I drink ginger ale, and I was wondering if I know that ginger is very good. I cook with it. But there have been in the past, and I can't find them out here in New Jersey, such things as ginger beer from Jamaica. And
yes.
I've also gone down on Route 95 in South Carolina. Somebody's got a little billboard on the side there that makes a ginger beer. We've got to get our soda people, you know, to start to promote these things, because there's nothing more effective than having that when you've had too much food. Holiday stuff. It was very pleasant.
Yes, and yes. Ginger kombucha is a favorite of mine.
Yeah,
I've never had kombucha. I've heard about it, but I'm a tea drinker, and I often recap my tea, so maybe I'm halfway on the way. I drink Earl Grey with lemon and local honey.
Uh-huh.
Yep. We love that. Great ideas. Corinne, we have another caller holding. Thank you, Rose, for your suggestions.
Hi. You're live on BAI. Your name, please?
Lee. Hi. Over the holidays, I was with a friend, and she had just recently had an issue. She had a heart, where they put in now I'm blocking it. But she ended up with having trouble defecating peeing at the same time. She has a history of trouble with her glomeruli, right? Because she had rheumatic fever as a child, pacemaker. She just had a pacemaker put in, and they gave her, to stop the pain from the surgery, constipating painkiller. And so she's having, and continues to have a little bit of problem.
And so, what is the question?
The question is, I told her, I'm trying to get her to take something that she has, because she's an anti-pill person. Also, she had one, all right, she ate spoiled mushrooms. They were old, and she thought she could get away with it, but she couldn't. And so,
okay, so, yeah, it's very hard when you have to use an opiate. Because your whole peristalsis, which moves everything down through your digestive tract and your intestines, that's all slowed down and more water is pulled out of the stool, becomes harder and harder to pass. So couple things. You may want to do something with fiber, both soluble and insoluble. The insoluble fiber will particularly help that stool bulk up and hold water in the intestine. Sometimes, you know, one of the most frequently used things is milk of magnesia, and it creates a situation where your body actually pulls more moisture into the colon so you can rehydrate that stool. So I really am a fan of milk of magnesia as one pretty good tool.
You can also take magnesium pills. Milk of magnesia is exactly what it sounds like. It's a liquid magnesium. And you drink it down, so it's easy to take, and it's quite strong for passing stool. So she might want to look at that, and that could be helpful for her. But with the condition that she's in, she needs to speak with her doctor before she does anything. Okay? So that would be very important that she discuss with them, her doctor, her caregiver, the use of milk of magnesia. Normally, there's absolutely no objection to it at all, because they use it in hospitals also. So thank you for your question. Have a wonderful holiday season. And
more callers are holding.
Oh, that's terrific. Hi, you're live on BAI. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. I'm sorry, but you really need to speak up.
Do you hear me?
No.
I hear a whisper. Just a whisper. You almost have to scream.
Hello?
Yes?
Okay. My question is the inspection of food, specifically poultry and turkey and fish, because they may give antibiotics to them to prevent disease, and this may go into the flesh. And I was wondering, should we really look into the turkey and chicken that we eat to see if there's any harm when we cook it?
Well, I don't think you can tell when you cook it, but I do the best I can, because we know that 80% of the antibiotics made in this country go into livestock. So I know that I'm not taking antibiotics, but yet the livestock is getting it. So I always, even when I get turkeys, I get antibiotic-free. I look for that. When I get chicken, I get antibiotic-free. When I get any kind of meat, I get antibiotic-free. So the only way to really do that we can't check on the meats we eat, we have to trust the providers, which I do. If it says antibiotic-free, I believe that it's antibiotic-free. And I always look for that label. And yes, I think it's recommended, and I think it's a good idea to do that. I do that for myself and for my family also.
the danger in the antibiotics in the meat is that it destroys your microbiome, which is really, again, responsible for your digestion and some of your fatty acids and some of your nutrient absorptions. It's a big part of your digestion. We have another caller.
Okay, we have just a couple minutes, so please, hello, welcome, and please give us your question.
Hi, is it me?
Hello.
Yes. Hi. Yes, it's interesting that you're talking about this subject because it's something that I've suffered with for many years, and yesterday I was suffering terribly with it. And for years, I would maybe walk through the streets and make this big belch if I was alone, and I, not realizing how loud it was, and it could be heard by everyone. And I don't know what it was I was doing. I maybe I realized it must be coffee intake in the morning. And the other day, I had tomatoes, and it reacted badly. And I did find that coconut water seemed to help for some reason. Maybe
yeah,
it's potassium or electrolyte.
Yeah, I don't know the properties of coconut water, but if it helps, it helps. But belching and burping, usually with quite a bit of regularity, have to do with low stomach acid. And we know as we age that our stomach acid naturally gets lower, and that is also the time when many people start taking antacids, which is exactly the opposite of what we want to do.
Right.
So
right.
You might want to try bitters. You might want to try apple cider vinegar.
Yes, I've tried apple cider vinegar. The thing is, I once went to an Ayurvedic specialist, and she did tell me I needed bitters, but I said, you know, and to give up salads. I always loved salads, yet I wonder why, if it's something that my body needs, it's also something that I hate. I hate anything bitter.
Well,
anything.
How about taking betaine hydrochloride?
So yes, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, you can get that in the health food store, and then you don't have to deal with something you hate.
Is that a powder?
It's a capsule. You take it at the beginning of the meal, 1, 2, 3, 4, find your dose. And I'm going to have to say thank you for calling. I hope
okay,
you have a
wonderful
holiday.
Okay, what about Metamucil? Metamucil has helped also.
Well, excellent. That's bulking your
stool.
Colon, your stool, but make sure you get the sugar-free one. And I think we have one more caller, if we could do it in a minute.
Thank you so much for your call. And Carol, it's always a pleasure. We've come to the end of our time. And it's very interesting how people call in the last few minutes. We wait for them to call, and they call in the last few minutes. And then we have to sneak in those answers as quickly as we can. We'd love you to call earlier, and then we could make the whole show around your questions. So, for sharing with us what you did. It was absolutely lovely. And thank you, Carol. It's always great when we're together. And
I know it's a wonderful topic. I put on last week's show and I called it Digesting Thanksgiving. So now we have to digest the rest of the holidays.
Definitely. So call me.